is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe hanging out with Michael Lombardi here at the Circa Resort Casino in downtown Las Vegas on a Friday morning. Hour number two is going to be a lot of fun here. Joining us in 15 minutes, Matt Manicharian, well, your old buddy there, former scout for you, now the VP of football and data analytics at Sports Info Solutions. He'll join us in 15 minutes to talk about their process for building the board in the upcoming NFL draft. But joining us right now, as he does at the top of every hour number two on a Friday, is Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, hope all is well. We appreciate the time. Obviously, I want to start with the story out of the NFL that we just got about an hour ago, the NFL suspending five players, including Detroit Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams, for violating the NFL gambling policy. As an odds maker, when you see another one of these stories, I mean, what comes to mind based on your history? And I'm sure you guys have booked players in the past, whether current or former.
He was not around for the White Sox scandal. Don't make it look like that.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, Michael, for sure.
I mean, come on. I mean, he set
no Shoeless
up,
Joe?
Like,
Jimmy
you
was.
Back there with Shoeless Joe.
Jimmy
you know? Was. I mean, like, it's so bad.
Jimmy gets asked about it from time to time, but
he probably was there.
No, you know, guys, we didn't have any wind of this during the course of the season. I think they're still, you know, looking into what they were doing, what they were playing. Was it college, pro? You know, look, to us, what we always share, this is something that we've shared with the professional leagues and the NCAA for a decade, forever. All right, is the integrity of the game. If there are rules that a league has in place, then we expect, just like the league does, for the players to follow those rules, right? Let's face it. So it's pretty clear the position of the NFL in this case, that no gamble, no sports game, not allowed, period. End of story. You know, players, again, if you think you're going to do it and nobody's going to find out about it, especially in this day and age, where if two people know something, it's not a secret. Somebody's going to know something, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody else besides you knows it. So, Michael, you could speak to this better than anybody. I mean, they've got rules in place. There's so many other things for the players to do to occupy their time and whatnot. But you know what? Right now, we're just going to wait and see what the ruling is. I mean, obviously, the players have been suspended, been released. Williams is probably the most impactful one right now, but it's the offseason. So what do the Lions do in terms of are there any trades or any how that impacts their draft? I'm not sure, but you know, it's certainly something we don't want to see. It just like the leagues don't want to see it. If there are rules in place, we have rules in place here, right? As executives, you can't gamble at the property that you are based at, right? So here at the South Point, so I'm not going to walk to the counter. You know, Chris is not going to put up numbers today on today's baseball card and walk to the counter and start betting on baseball.
Yeah.
So it's real simple. You know, if you want to do it, you go somewhere else. What are the parameters? What are the rules? Follow those rules.
Yeah. Other big news today, Vinny, in town was that we are getting baseball here in Las Vegas. How will that impact you in the market?
Well, Michael, I think it's, you know, pretty exciting. You know, first let me say this, you know, and I remember my dad, rest his soul, you know, who still lamented, you know, even up to the day he passed, about the Dodgers leaving Brooklyn. You know, you have to feel for the people in Oakland, right? Let's face it. They lose the Raiders, and now, you know, they're going to lose the A's. It's a gain for Las Vegas in this regard as an event-driven destination now. And let's face it, every Raider game is an event. And it's not just for Raider fans, but we've seen where the visiting team has a strong presence. In fact, I think when it was the Niners game, I think there were actually more Niners fans there. So there's that element. And when we've got now the A's coming to town, you're going to have an event for every one of those games, right? You're not going to have a stadium the size of the Coliseum. You're going to have a new stadium, even if it's less, say it's 35,000 people, which is a number that I heard. That's fine. That's they're going to sell out. Especially think about when teams like the Cubs come here, when the Dodgers are in town, the Yankees, right, the Red Sox, the Mets, the Cardinals, you know, so they're going to draw, you know, and again, I feel bad for the folks in Oakland, but they're going to draw very well here, just like the Raiders do, just like the Golden Knights do, and I think it's going to be a boom. And the other part of it is, guys, it's a unique situation. In the sense that the AAA affiliate is also here. So the Las Vegas Aviators are the AAA affiliate in the PCL for the Oakland A's. And now, you know, just like the Knights have their top farm team here over in Henderson, you know, when players are rehabbing and it's going to be easy to get back and forth, my personal feeling is, too, now they're talking about the stadium for the A's not necessarily being done for about 4 years. You wonder if perhaps the A's will be playing here sooner and playing out in Summerlin. Now, that's only about a 10,000-seat capacity, maybe 12 if they squeeze people in up in the outfield, out in the grass and out in the pool area and things like that. It's a beautiful facility. Mm-hmm. Guys, I know you've been out there. In fact, they're outdrawing the A's right now, the Aviators. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. I just don't know if this situation – I'm sure it's going to take 4 years to build out that area for the stadium. I just don't know if the A's are going to play in Oakland for the next 4 seasons.
Yeah, no, that Aviator Stadium is really nice. I went to an Aviators game just last week. Enjoyed it out there. A lot of home runs. The pitching, not so great, but at least it was entertaining. We're speaking with Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Famer.
Oh, there's some softball games out there, Femi, for sure.
100%. I saw it firsthand. I was like, man, this is going to take a while. I think I had to leave the game early. Vinny Maiulo with us here, Hall of Fame oddsmaker over at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Vinny, how'd you guys do last night in the NBA? Obviously, a lot of people talking about that final bucket in Sixers Nets, swinging the spread with the favorite covering there, but how'd you guys make out in the NBA?
You know what? A little better day, I think, for the bettors yesterday, Femi, but that's okay. That happens. And again, in reference to that basket that you mentioned, no such thing as a meaningless score, right? You see that all the time. You know, and the NFL knows that better than anybody. Why is a game a blowout, particularly a playoff game or a Super Bowl, if it's a blowout and the viewership is still strong? Well, there's always something at stake, whether it's the total, whether it's the second half, or proposition bets and things like that. So, it was a better day for the bettors yesterday. A little bit of uncertainty, obviously, with players. I thought this would, particularly you could look at the Clippers situation and things like that with Kawhi. But you know what, guys, you make adjustments. Bettors have to make adjustments too. And bettors, again, sometimes you just have to wait for these lineups to come in, before you make your plays. But, again, always no such thing as a meaningless bucket in the NBA, Femi.
Yeah, there is none. I mean, you know, what's amazing about that game was Embiid didn't get thrown out. Harden did. Mm-hmm. And Maxey won the game down the stretch with what he did. Of course, Embiid had the big block. But, you know, that – and then the night game, the Clippers-Suns game, was the first game, I think, Vinny, this NBA – where the spread wasn't – came into play. The team that won
typically,
outright.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael, you bring up a good point. I mean, that you can't ignore that particular situation and that stat. You know, oftentimes, you know, trends don't always pay the rent, but trends have certainly paid quite a few rents when it comes to favorites not only winning but covering, right? Teams winning that win cover the number as well. So yeah, that's been predominant, and that was the exception last night, and it's been that way for the last couple of seasons. In the NBA first round. So, I don't think people are going to ignore it. I think they're going to still pay attention to it. But at the end of the day, it's about the number. What do you see? You know, again, you look at the Clipper game yesterday where the adjustment was made all the way up to, as high as 7, 7.5. you know, could they still lose the game? Yeah, and again, could they win the game? The question is, were they going to cover or not? So, yeah, you have those situations, the point spread being that great equalizer that does, in fact, give people that opportunity to help make that decision and put the money on that decision that they make.
You know, I'm curious, Vinny, because yesterday afternoon is when we saw the news that Kawhi Leonard was ruled out with the knee sprain, but there was no indication whatsoever, and it's kind of one of the more infuriating things about betting the NBA is that their injury reports are very casual, I guess is one way to put it. And Kawhi Leonard, who apparently hurt himself in game one, wasn't on the injury report heading into game two, so there was no indication that he might miss game three. Kind of how did you guys handle that behind the window?
Well, what you do in a case like that, once you get word, or if it's rumored or whatever the case may be, once you receive word, you immediately hold up on the game, Femi. It's just a matter of saying, okay, wait a second. First of all, is there validity to this? Oh, okay, in this case, there was. So then you're going to make an adjustment. What is he worth to the number? How was it being bet before that as well? May come into play, but not so much. But, you know, what is Kawhi, what does he mean to the number? And in that case yesterday, it was anywhere from 3 to 3.5 points in terms of the betting number. You know, the same Draymond Green. We knew Draymond Green was going to be suspended. Did he mean the same to the number as Kawhi? No. Right? Every player is different. Every matchup is different. Every circumstance is different when you're looking at those things. Are the Warriors better with him, with Draymond Green? Sure, absolutely. But at least we knew, so that was a known factor. The Kawhi situation, you just have to wait and take a few minutes until you can substantiate that word, that possibility, and then make that adjustment. And in yesterday's case, it was about 3.5 points.
Yeah, just straight out of left field for a playoff game.
And they're partners with betting companies. Yep. I mean, they just love to help, don't they?
Yeah.
What a league.
Presented by BetMGM.
There you go. Good
point. He is Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame odds maker over at the South Point. Vinny, we'll talk to you next week, buddy. Be well.
Have a good weekend, fellas.
All right. Matt Mattaterian joining us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points and MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi here in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. We just had Vinny Maiulo on in the last segment. Mm-hmm. And to join us now to wrap up all of our fantastic guests is somebody that you're very familiar with,
Matt.
Michael Lombardi.
Absolutely.
This is Matt Mattaterian, former NFL scout, VP of football and data analytics at Sports Info Solutions. Matt, we appreciate you taking the time here this morning. And I'm just curious for our viewers, our audience, and our listeners, what is your process when it comes to building a draft board? Does it differ from what you used to do in the NFL and kind of how you guys come about putting it together?
No, it's exactly what we used to do in the NFL. You know, I had the benefit of spending time with the Saints. I spent 4 years there with Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton, more of a sort of traditional round-based grading system. Spent a year with Michael that was rudely interrupted, but learned the more role-based grading system. And that's really what I believe in. That's really what we do at Sports Info Solutions. And we try to mimic the NFL scouting calendar as similarly as we can. We're trying, you know, we're an analytics company, but we're really trying to look at things the same way that teams are looking at them and using that as our starting point, as opposed to, you know, starting from the numbers and then just trying to make sense of it from there.
Matt, I see you've given Bryce Young and CJ Stroud the same grade, but you like Young better. Tell me what's your concerns about Stroud and what you believe will be his strengths in the NFL.
So I don't see Stroud as I don't see concerns about him so much as I really think Bryce Young is special. When we went through our process and the more we watched him, the more we found that in terms of the way he gets the ball out of his hands quickly, in terms of his spot on accuracy, his athleticism, I know he's 5'10" and he's been playing behind NFL size offensive linemen already. So I don't worry about that. I worry about the health. That's the only thing that I worry about there. When it comes to Stroud, you know, obviously being a part of this offense with the sort of receivers that he had, you can make the argument that things were sort of easy for him. And so you haven't seen as much of those adverse circumstances. Certainly in the playoff game, he kind of checked every box that you saw as it came across there. But even so, I don't see him as the same lightning quick processor that I see with Bryce Young. And that's why they end up with the same grade on our board. But I do give Young the nod.
Yeah. Go ahead, Femi.
Oh, so we're speaking with Matt Manicharian here, former NFL scout, VP of Football and Data Analytics at Sports Info Solutions. So it sounds like you have Young and Stroud as your top two quarterbacks. Who's QB3 for you guys?
So for us, this again was really close. There's a big gap when you go from these top two guys who have been productive and also bring a lot of the traits that you look for. I think you've got to drop down a little bit before you start talking about Richardson and Levis, who for us, they're neck and neck on our board. We've got the same grade on them again, but it is a few tiers down below where we have those top two guys. I think Richardson ends up getting the nod ahead of Levis for us because of the upside. I think if you're drafting either of these guys, you're acknowledging that there's some risk that they're not going to develop in the way that you hope that they will. But Anthony Richardson at 20 years old with the sort of skill set that he has, it's not Cam Newton because Cam Newton won a national championship by himself in college. But the skill set that he has there, you really could see that coming down the road. I think he needs a redshirt year, but we gave him just the nod a little bit ahead of Levis. And Levis, for the record, when I watched him, I expected to hate him. I came from, like I said, New Orleans, being around Drew Brees, accuracy, accuracy, accuracy. And when I turned on the film, all I saw is a guy that was playing injured in, a misaligned offense all year long and has just an absolute cannon arm strength. He can make 60-yard throws with ease, quick release too. I mean, like when it looks right, it's Marino-like with him. It just doesn't look right often enough right now. So that's why these guys are a little bit lower for me. I think there's risk there, but they both have a chance to develop into top-tier NFL quarterbacks, I think. And, you know, we used to say you can't develop accuracy. I think in the modern NFL, we might be needing to revisit that thought.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, too, these receivers have this incredible ability to have the wide range in their arms and their catch radius. And even when the ball's not properly thrown, guys make plays on it. We see that in Buffalo with Josh Allen. And sometimes he's not always precise, and Diggs just makes a great play. But let's go defensive line. I know you love Will Anderson. He's your number one player on the board. I have a hard time seeing it. I mean, I think he's a really good player. I don't see Von Miller. I don't see Bruce Smith. I don't see this elite. I see Wright from Tennessee blocking him. I see him getting blocked quite a bit. I know his skill set and probably would have been his junior tapes or his sophomore tapes better than this tape. But to me, Carter is the best defensive player. Your thoughts?
I don't hate that perspective. These guys are the top two players on our board. I give Anderson the nod because I've seen him, in my opinion, be the best player in college football for the last 3 years. All he's done is produced. It's been at Alabama. It's been against the best competition. I don't think he's got elite bend. I don't think he's got the elite size strength of some of the guys that you talked about a minute ago. I think that's true. When I go back, Khalil Mack is a comp that when he was coming out, I think you're in a similar vicinity there. You also had concerns about Khalil Mack being a small school guy coming out. With Will Anderson, he's not as bendy. He's not like that true sort of edge. But this guy, even when you think you block him, he's not blocked. He gets off of block so quickly. He plays with great strength for somebody that's just, you know, 250. And I see him kniving through and being a 10-sack guy on the NFL level. Now, when it comes to Jalen Carter, Michael, I think you're right. Like, in terms of upside, you're talking about somebody that, like, you might say, like, his floor is like Ndamukong Suh in terms of what he is. He absolutely dominates people every play. I know that we want to do all the off-field stuff and worry about the combine and worry about incidents and things like that. But if we're just talking about what these guys are on the field, I'm with you. I think he's right there with Will Anderson.
Matt, I'm really intrigued by these corners because as a West Coast guy, I've seen a lot of the Oregon kid, Christian Gonzalez. He was awesome at Colorado, really good at Oregon. But Illinois' Devin Witherspoon in the betting market appears to be the first corner who's going to be selected. How do you kind of rate these cornerbacks, Witherspoon and Gonzalez?
We love these guys. We've got them ranked right back to back. We give Witherspoon the edge just a little bit because the press man ability, the high-level press man ability, the physicality, we really like that. We value that. We think that in the modern NFL today, the ability to say, hey, you go over there, play this guy man-to-man, that's what you're drafting corners for high. And I like him a little bit better in terms of that role. That said, Christian Gonzalez, I think all the reactive athleticism that you look for, all the speed that you look for, productive on the ball. So I don't think you're going wrong with either of these guys in the top 10.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson, like, you know, we talk about the system we used in Cleveland. We wanted clean players, guys that didn't have a hole. To me, he's one of the cleanest players in the draft. And I know you're from an analytical company, but his numbers in the passing game have to entice you. How is he not a top 10 pick?
I think he is a top 10 pick. I don't follow the mock too closely because honestly, I could care less what other people think. We'll see how they go. But in terms of Bijan, so I may not pick him in the top 10 personally. Like you said, I got too many of these analytics guys in my head that want to convince me about positional value, but he's a good enough receiver that I think if you're willing to draft a receiver in the top 10, it's hard for me to understand why you wouldn't draft a guy that can line up. He can kind of be your slot and he can also be there. He's one of these guys where your personnel group isn't your personnel group when he's on the field because it can change in an instant based on his alignment. So that sort of flexibility on offense is something that I think wins in the NFL. He's a weapon more than he's just a ball carrier. You'd like to see a little bit more from a pass protection standpoint. That's something that we always harped on for sure. But I think that'll come for him in time. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you told me Josh Jacobs was going to be Josh Jacobs, does he justify a top 10 pick? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think this is that type of prospect.
I think you should ask your analytical guys, who would you rather have, a great running back or Keenan Allen averaging 10 yards a catch? You know, everybody says it's okay to pay Keenan Allen, but nobody says it's okay to pay Eckler. When in reality, when you're driving to the stadium, you're more worried about Eckler beating you or Keenan Allen. Let Keenan Allen have 12 catches. If we're going to be for 120 yards, who cares? You know, he's not going to – Mike Williams, we've got to stop him now.
Yeah.
Eckler, we got to stop him. To me, I think this is a semantical issue. Well, he's a running back. You can't pay him. No, if he's a weapon, you got to pay him.
Yeah. No. Or even another question is, would you rather have Bijan Robinson, the consensus running back one, or would you rather have the edge rusher number three or number four?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And which one would you rather?
Because you could play – it's funny. The Raiders could play Josh Jacobs and Robinson at the same time because one would be a receiver, the other would be the back.
He is Matt Manoucherian, former NFL scout, VP of Football and Data Analytics at Sports Info
Great
Solutions.
Great job, Matt.
We appreciate
awesome.
You
Great
joining
to
us,
see Matt. You,
Matt.
Great to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
Awesome stuff there. We'll talk some more draft on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, the spring is a really great time to bet on sports, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, the Kentucky Derby, and the upcoming NFL Draft. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand on the dice. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's a great time to be betting on sports, man. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
Thank God the Maple Leafs won last night, huh? Oh my God. Dude, I was worried about everybody in Toronto.
We had to send a team of
specialists up there.
They take thing seriously.
They do. We have to send some therapy people. You know, big win. They won 7-2. How about the Rangers win again?
The Rangers look good.
Yeah. I don't know what looks good in hockey because I don't know hockey.
They score a lot and they don't allow many goals.
So when you tell me they look good, like, I don't know what look good. I mean,
they're skating well.
Yeah. I don't know what skating is. You know, they drink hot chocolate good. I have no idea. Like, what does it mean? I have no idea. But I'm happy. You know, I know Stormy loves it, and the Knights won last night, which was great. So that's good for the city of Las Vegas. But as Vinny said, I mean, I think we're getting a lot of of, you know, this is such a good time to be betting. The NBA games are, to me, are fun to watch. Even the Warriors blowout last night, it was fun to watch them play to that level. They turned the ball over still. They did all the things they do, but they shot the ball incredibly well. The Kings didn't back down. I mean, they were trying to get into it. They just couldn't get it going. You know, and then the 76er game, which was bizarre. I mean, to think that they covered that 4.5.
I thought they were going to lose game. For a second.
I thought for sure they were going to lose. I'm sitting there watching it. I thought for sure they're going to lose. I mean, big boy. How many times did you watch that game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what you're going to ask me.
How many times was his big butt on the ground? Like, seriously, have you ever seen an elite athlete on the ground as much as him?
I tweeted.
I mean, like, I think Vinny and I think Derek here, we should have a prop. How many times he's on the ground?
I tweeted yesterday watching the game because being here in Vegas, we get the Laker games locally as well. So I've watched a lot of Laker games, and Anthony Davis is always on the ground. And I was like, you know what? I think Embiid got him beat.
No, it's
like,
not even close. I've been Embiid's saying this for 4 years. I spent my lifetime studying athletes. I have never seen a guy on the ground this much who's an elite athlete. I acknowledge he's an elite athlete.
Yeah.
But the guy is on the ground. I mean, it's all the time. It's all the time. I mean, Berman and I would kid at like the post the over under on the ground at 4.
Oh my God, you gotta go way over.
You go way over. Like, yeah. I think you can't put it at 4. You gotta put it at, like, in the playoffs. Yeah. Now you gotta put it at 8.
Yeah, like 7.5, 8.5, somewhere around there. The all floor burn team, and Embiid's the starting center.
Oh my God,
you got Davis at forward.
It's like amazing. Like, I don't know. It's if it's a balance issue or if it's just a. But you wonder why he's so prone to injury. I mean, he walked off the court again last night. He got something wrong with his lower back and then his knee. And then, you know, and so, and you could tell people are trying to be physical with him. I mean, even Claxton, before he got thrown out, they were trying to be more physical with him. Mm-hmm. Give Brooklyn credit. I mean,
they're fighting.
They're trying, but it's over.
Yeah, no, they're undermanned. They're undermanned. Yeah. And that was not a team that was, I mean, once they made the trade with Kyrie, they sent him to Dallas.
It was nice to see Simmons on the bench. It was nice to see him there.
He was cheering on his team.
Hopefully he was comfortable.
Yeah, well, you got that kind of money coming into the bank.
Wow.
Man. You're really comfortable. You don't have to work.
Wow.
Hell of a deal there. I don't think there's a single sport, and we're going to get to the NFL here in just a second, but I want to make this last point. There's not a sport that we have where the difference in the regular season and the postseason, it is just – wide.
This is today now. Back when I was growing up, and maybe when you were growing up, when you had Sean King there at the Super
Sean Kemp,
Sean Kemp, I'm sorry. When you had him there at the – I mean, the NBA regular season was better, you know. But today with the load management and all that, the regular season is – like we've said all along, you have to throw out the numbers from the regular season pretty much.
Yeah.
And the level of intensity. I mean, look, I mean, the poor Clippers, I didn't realize – the Clipper games were blacked out here. I went to NBA TV last night to try to watch it. I couldn't find it. I didn't know it was on something called Bally's. I didn't even know what Bally's was, you know. So I'm new to this town. I didn't get the chance to watch the clips of it this morning. But to me, without Kawhi, the fight that they put up was impressive. But, you know, look, if you're the Clippers and your two best players, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, are not playing, how are you going to win?
It's tough. I mean, I texted our senior NBA analyst, JDVT, big Clipper fan, Jonathan Von Tobel, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, and I said, am I crazy for liking the Clippers with the points here? And he was like, you know what? Their offense is going to be a little bit stagnant, but the point that you did, because I texted him, I was like, they played a million games without Kawhi and Paul George. I mean, these guys are out in and out of the lineups constantly. Ty Lue is a good enough coach. He should be able to figure something out. And he was like, I'm kind of lukewarm. Maybe play a Westbrook over. The Westbrook over did cash, by the way. But the Clippers got there. The +7.5 got there because this
one
team.
One of the few times the line mattered.
It's the first time in, I think, 50-something games.
Yeah, it was been a while. Yeah. So it was one of the first time the line. I mean, who would have thought Norman Powell would have had that 2019 run that he had back in Toronto?
Yeah, 40-point game.
And then, you know, like Nick Nurse gets fired today. Like, I think Nick Nurse is one of the best coaches out there. The NBA is so confusing, and I think part of it is you have to almost change the tune all the time, the voice to the players. Nick Nurse can't be unemployed for very long. There's not many coaches that I've watched in the NBA that coach as well as he does.
There were people back in March saying Nick Nurse was going to be the next Houston Rockets head coach. Like this is something that it's been in the works for a little while. Now the Rockets are going to interview Ime Udoka, who have suspended and no longer the coach for the Boston Celtics. So my guess is that the Rockets will either have Udoka or Nurse as their head coach.
Yeah, that's two good coaches.
Two really good coaches. So we'll see what happens down there in Houston. But while we have a little bit of time here, 4.5 minutes left in this segment, Michael, let's play a little Would You Rather with some of these NFL draft props. And the question that we asked our buddy Matt Manicharian, who you used to work with, former NFL scout, and then VP of football and data analytics over at Sports Info Solutions. And he didn't have time to answer it, but I think it's something that's you should be thinking about if you're an NFL evaluator and also if you're a better. This one is a top 10 pick market. So these guys to be drafted in the top 10. Texas running back Bijan Robinson at plus 120 versus Georgia linebacker edge rusher Nolan Smith at plus 140. Which would you rather bet on?
I would take Robinson. Here's the issue with Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith is an old-fashioned Sam linebacker. Mm-hmm. He's not big enough to play down. He's not a defensive end. He's too small to play down there. He's going to get engulfed. He's got really good athletic skills. He's got toughness. He's got all the things you want. He's a better fifth rusher than he is a fourth rusher. What does that mean? That means when he's coming from the matchups where he can get isolated on a back or maybe isolated on a tight end, but when he's lined up at off on the outside shoulder of the right tackle or the left tackle, he's going to lose a lot to the power of those two men. He's 238 pounds, so that's hard. He's an old-fashioned Sam, which means he plays at the end of the line, and he would take on the tight end. We don't have Sam linebackers anymore. Mm-mm. Okay? We don't have Sam linebackers anymore. And what we don't also have in the NFL anymore is down and distance. So this note, if you hear people talking about, well, he's a first-down linebacker, stop listening to that person. There is no such thing as first-down linebackers. There's no such thing as second down. There's no such thing as third down. There is personnel group linebackers. If I can personnel you off the field, if I go to 11 personnel and you can't stay on the field as a linebacker, you're not going to play very much in the NFL. Your value is going way down. And so that's what it really comes down to. Nolan Smith has to be looked at as, because there's very few Sams, you're in so much nickel, that he's got to be an edge rusher. So now he's kind of betwixt and between. He's in between positions. Where do you play him? How do you play him? You know, what would I do with him? You know, if I'm a 34 team, he's an outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. Okay? He's T.J. Watt as a 34. He can drop into coverage and do all that. I think it's a little bit harder, especially undersized as he is.
But even those 34 teams, I mean, they're playing nickel, like, what, 60% of the time?
When you're a 34 team, you're a 4-3 team anyway. So you're bringing the guy, and you're just basically you're dropping one guy and you're bringing the other guy. I mean, people get – just because the guy lines up over the center at zero technique, it changes the – and then the ends are different. So everything in the NFL today is about what personnel group the offense has on the field. That's what makes the 49ers so good, is because they can substitute their personnel offensively without substituting. So they can move McCaffrey around, they can move Debo around, and it forces you to make an adjustment, and then Kyle takes advantage of what you adjust to.
Yeah, that's the chess match. Chess on grass is what we call football.
Yep.
The next one here, and this is the second QB selected market, and I want to have this conversation more on the other side as well. Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud minus 135. Kentucky QB Will Levis plus 140. Which one would you bet on?
I'm going to take Stroud. I like Stroud as a player better than I like Levis as a player. I think both of them have enormous risk. Both of them have enormous risk for being a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think both of them are overgraded. I think both of them have potential to start. They're not starters from day one. And for me, you can't pick a guy in the top five, in the top eight, that only has potential to start. That doesn't. And I'm not talking about we're going to sit him out a year. I'm talking about the talent to be a potential starter. In my grading system and what we used in New England and what we used in Cleveland, to me, Levis is a 59, which is a backup that could, you know, and so you can't pick him there. To me, Stroud would be maybe a 62, would be a potential starter with a chance, but what's the ceiling for him? You have to use a grading system. When you just go, who would you rather have, A or B, it's meaningless. What's the grade of the two players in terms of where are they going to be 3 years from now?
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be surprised to hear that Levis is in that range of potential backup guy, because everyone talks about him maybe now going top four.
Not carrying a franchise, so, you know. Yeah. You think he can? He can. You know, maybe you're wrong.
We'll talk about that more on the other side as we wrap up the show. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today and get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back. Final segment of the Lombardi Line.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What would the reaction be on draft day if the Colts picks? Let's just hypothetically play this game.
Okay. You want to do mock draft Friday?
No. Okay. I just want to play a game.
Okay.
I just want to play a game.
All right.
Because I just got some info. So let's just hypothetically say Bryce Young goes one, not hypothetical. Hopefully people bet it and listen
minus
to us.
-1500 now in
okay.
the market.
We could add him at plus 275, but that's a whole other story. Yeah. Okay, and then we say Wilson goes two, Tyree Wilson goes two, and then Will Anderson goes three. And say the Colts pick Washington from the offensive tackle from Ohio State.
Paris Johnson, wow.
Paris Johnson, I'm sorry. What would the faces on that board, on that desk be like?
Do you want to act it out now?
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's going to be, whoa.
But the reason I'm bringing this up is, what if they took the left tackle and then they signed Lamar after the draft and traded away picks? Now they have a left tackle and they have Lamar. Mm-hmm. So if they did that, it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, we only react to the draft as if teams don't have something else up their sleeve. And I'm just cautioning people to say, let's not react as a fan. Well, they have to take a quarterback. Well, maybe they are going to get one. I don't know. Maybe they won't. I'm not saying they will. Maybe they won't. But I think, to me, the NFL draft is more than just a linear event. It has more tentacles to it and more things that are going on behind the scenes than we all know.
And to quote Stephen Jones, because he always says this, the VP of football operations for the Cowboys, player acquisition is a 24/7 thing, 365.
It's every day. It
doesn't end with the draft.
When I first got on campus here at UNLV, the first line I ever heard was, "You recruiting's like shaving. If you don't do it every day, you look like a bum." And that's the NFL acquisition. And the hardest time to acquire players is in the offseason. The easiest time to acquire players, and this is a Walshism, is during the season when no one's looking for players. So you've got to zig when everybody else is zagging. That's why Walsh was able to try to find players in September and October, knowing that teams were reluctant to develop talent within. Mm-hmm. And so then you could find better players. Now everybody's got their eyes open.
Yeah, because during the season, I feel like everyone's so hyper-focused on like week to week during the games and all that stuff, and it's desperation of trying to win football.
See, we play this game where we, you know, now Houston's kind of gotten away from it a little bit, but we play this game. Houston has to take quarterback, so we're going to put Stroud there. And then all of a sudden it comes out that they're not going to take a quarterback, and now everybody's mad, and we go through that for a week. Now everybody starts to understand it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing. Chicago should take a quarterback, but we can talk about that later, but
we go down there.
And so I think, to me, what I'm saying to everybody is, let's just caution everybody that what we know going into this today is a lot of just speculation. There's no facts based on it.
Well, let me read you this quote, because we talked about this to end hour number one, but I want to bring it back here before we end the show. This is from Chris Ballard, the general manager for the Indianapolis Colts, had his pre-draft press conference earlier today. He said, quote, "There's a misconception out there that we've targeted one player. I'm not sure that's accurate. I always love to read the reports that the Colts love this guy or this guy. Well, that didn't come from me. They don't know." And let me ask you this here, Michael Lombardi. Let's fast forward to Tuesday. Do you think there could be reports that the Colts might not take a quarterback later on next week?
I think any reports out of the Colts probably are going to be inaccurate, because I'm not sure the Colts – I think the Colts are going through the whole process. And you've got to kind of – look, they have only Gardner Minshew on their team, but maybe they trade for Ryan Tannehill. who knows? Maybe Houston, maybe, you know, I don't know what could happen. And I just think, to me, we are making a mistake to just buy into the logic that this is going to happen. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. It makes sense for Houston to take a quarterback from the outside. But if you graded the players, it doesn't make sense if you can't grade them high enough to pick them at two. And I think we do a disservice to the fans to assume that the people that are doing these mocks and make, they've never been in a room before. They've never written a report before. They've never graded a player before. They never set up a board before professionally. They've done it in their basements, but they've never done it in a room. So it's like, okay, if we take this guy, do we have our answer? Can I sit there with the owner and say, this is our quarterback for the next 5 years? We got it solved. I don't think you can do that on anybody other than Bryce Young. So to me, this whole notion that four quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3, 4 that Kiper put out a week ago, which has never happened in the history of the NFL, it just keeps going down a narrative that's wrong. And remember what Walsh said. If we're all thinking alike, no one's thinking. And I'm trying to make people try to think differently a little bit, because what we're learning is we're getting information that's not reliable. Ballard really pointed that out.
And I think the important thing to point out here, and it goes along with what you've been saying, is that when you talk about the difference of doing grades and then just slapping a round on a player, because the grades, you're comparing them to other guys who are in the league as well, not just comparing them to their classmates in the draft. So it's not Levis versus Stroud. It's Will Levis versus Daniel Jones. How do they compare? It's right. Will Levis versus these guys.
Nobody talks
how does
about
he stack
that. Like,
up?
Like everybody just assume that C.J. Stroud comes in the league, he's going to be a top 8 player. No, he's not. No, he's not. So now I have – now you're going to ask me to win games with a quarterback who's in the bottom – say he's 25th, 26th. You're asking me to win games. With this guy, you're going to tell me next year I need a quarterback.
Yeah. No. It's really – I think it's hard for us as fans because we get so caught up in just this one draft.
We keep reading the same thing over and over it again. We just keep, and then you know what happened? Oh, we're surprised. Oh my God, I didn't see that coming. Like, why be surprised? Like, none of this information's accurate.
Mm. Well, we're gonna have Mock Draft Monday for the GM Shuffle.
I heard.
That's going to be
a lot
of fun. You're
going to carry that segment. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, no. You're the one that has the info, the insider here, man. You're the one that put us on to Bryce Young at number one, man.
Look, yeah, that to me is the most bizarre thing. Really, when we go back and look at it, now that it comes out, what is it, plus 150?
Minus 1,500.
Minus 1,500.
First overall.
Yeah, I mean.
After being plus 275.
When we go back and reevaluate that, it to me, now there was the most greatest opportunity in betting. You the information, there was never, and we're going to find this out afterwards, there was never, we're picking C.J. Stroud over Bryce Young. And remember how people got enticed by the Josh McCown?
Yeah. Well, we're going to play horse.
We're going to play horse. Oh, people bought that hook, line, and sinker.
After that, he went to like minus 450.
I mean, that got more views than the Sabruder tape in an analysis.
I guess they're not going to play horse. Or maybe they already did.
Maybe they'll
go
play it somewhere else. I have no idea. But the tape was never going to let them play horse.
And I think the cool thing about the betting on the draft is that assumptions are made. Everybody assumed, well, Frank Reich has worked with big quarterbacks, so he's not going to like Bryce
Young. When assumption starts from a wrong place, it becomes wrong squared. Like, you can't do that. That's the problem with the draft. Everybody's relying on this information as being reliable when we all know it's not. It's an opinion. Mm. And that opinion's going to be different than somebody. It's like all the time, evaluate the evaluator. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mike Mayock went from being this draft guru, this expert on the draft, and then when he actually had a draft, it was a disaster. It was an unmitigated disaster. And I like Mike as a human being. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I know he works hard. But when he had a chance to draft players, it was a disaster. But he was an expert on TV.
Makes you think. We got a minute left. We got to get to our pro tip here before they get us in trouble. Our pro tip for the day, and we talked about it last segment. We talked about it with your buddy Matt Manicharian. Don't really dismiss Bijan Robinson as a top 10 pick. Right now he's plus 120 to go top 10 at DraftKings. Just because he's a running back, you can't dismiss him because he does other things as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's a receiver, running back, he's a weapon. And I think we have to stop this conversation about you can't draft running backs. You can draft weapons. You can draft weapons. Remember Tyreek Hill? Now, I know he went in the fifth round, but he played running back at Oklahoma State. Now, that whole thing is, you know, we all know what happened there. And he had no business being a fifth rounder. It wasn't like nobody knew about his talent. It was off the field. So he's a weapon.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill. Yeah, he turned out to have a pretty good career. Thank you to Matt Manicharian, former NFL scout, VP of football and data analytics over at Sports Info Solutions. Thank you to Vinny Maiolo, Hall of Fame odds maker at the South Point. Thank you to Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker podcast over at DraftKings. For Michael Lombardi, I'm Femi Abebe. For our producer, Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew behind the class, we wish you all the best of luck. Coming up next, it's VSiN Best Bets here on the Sports Betting Network.